Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God which instructs us today is Hosea 6:6. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Another version says it this way: I want your loyalty, not your sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. The story of Hosea and Gomer is one of the most shocking stories in the Bible. God commands Hosea, his prophet, to marry Gomer, a prostitute, and have children with her. Basically, Yahweh is calling Hosea not only to speak his message, but also to live it with his entire life. Hosea's life was called to be an object lesson, like a living sermon to the people of Israel, in which his commitment and faithfulness to an unfaithful wife demonstrates God's steadfast, faithful love to his unfaithful people. And when God commands, God's prophet obeys. So Hosea took Gomer as his wife, and together they had three children. And maybe for a while, Hosea thought that his steadfast love would be enough to free his wife from her past. But it wasn't. Gomer returned to her prostitution. She abandoned their marriage, engaged in affairs, and ultimately fell into severe debt or even slavery. So Hosea had to pay a ransom in order to free Gomer from her new master. This heartbroken husband literally had to buy back his own wife. Imagine the shame. The humiliation that Gomer faced for falling back into her sinful ways again. The disgrace that Hosea faced from family and friends for choosing such a wife. The anguish of seeing your wife with another man. And the embarrassment that a husband has to pay 15 shekels of silver to buy back his own wife. But we don't have to imagine, do we? We know that shame. The humiliation of falling back into that same sin again and again. The disgrace of worshiping a good and faithful God while at the same time still clinging to our idols. And the embarrassment that we cannot free ourselves from our own sinful condition. And so it was also for Israel. In Hosea's day, the northern kingdom of Israel had long forsaken Yahweh. Their prosperity led them into pride, and so they rejected God's law. They refused to go to God's house in Jerusalem, and instead they set up high places in their own area, where they would worship Asherah and Baal, these false gods, and engage in wicked behavior of utter depravity at these sacred places. This worship of false gods was considered spiritual adultery. Why? Because the Lord had an intimate and an exclusive relationship with Israel. He chose them and forever committed himself to them through his covenant vows to Abraham. And then Yahweh demonstrated his commitment as he redeemed the Israelites out of slavery in Exodus. He showed them his steadfast love in the wilderness, and he proved his faithfulness by providing the promised land. He provided all that they needed. He gave them every good gift. And in return, he asked for wholehearted devotion. You shall have no other gods. But Israel was unfaithful. The Israelites wanted an open union where they could expect God's blessing anytime they wanted it and yet still enjoy the enticements of other gods. They delighted in God's gifts, but despised his expectations. They wanted to be free. Free to follow their own hearts wherever it led them. And so Yahweh rebukes them sharply. Listen to his words from Hosea chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel. There is no faithfulness, no steadfast love, and no knowledge of God in the land. Instead, there is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. They have forsaken the Lord to give themselves to prostitution. They have left their God to play the whore. Just as Gomer committed adultery with other men, so Israel also committed adultery with false gods. And they deserved the anger of God's jealousy. They merited a divorce, to be forever cut off and separated from Yahweh, their God. Yet, even in the face of such infidelity, Yahweh cannot stop loving them. His love is shockingly steadfast, and it is forever faithful. He sends prophet after prophet to call them to repent and return to Him. And when they refuse to repent, falling even deeper into the slavery of sin, Yahweh promises that He will buy them back. God Himself, as a husband who will never give up on his wife, will redeem them from their bondage and cover over their shame with His faithful love. And so He sends Hosea to proclaim this message and to live this message. As it was then, so it is also now. The Lord still demands a monogamous, lifelong faithfulness from His beloved. He is the one true God, the Creator and Lord of all, who is worthy of full devotion and lifelong fidelity. In love, He wants what is best for His creation. With a holy jealousy, like a husband unwilling to share his wife with anyone else, He wants His church to fear, love, and trust in Him above all things. But we don't. We like the foreplay of false gods. We lust after the enticements of idols. Not Asherah or Baal, but the same thing the Israelites sought from these idols. Pleasure, comfort, reputation, success, power. And so we too commit adultery, sharing our hearts with other gods. And like Gomer, we wake up in the bed of another, covered in shame. And so we try to hide our shame. We conceal it with contempt. We cover it with cosmetics. We suppress it with success. We mute it with medication. And when all of that doesn't work, we try to earn God's love with empty promises. Oh God, I will never, ever do that again. I swear. God, I'm going to get my life together, and then you'll be so proud of me. To which God replies, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. God wants your heart, not your best efforts, not your empty promises. He wants you to repent and return to Him and live in a relationship with Him. Give Him your heart. Yes, the one that is sick with sin and overflowing with selfishness. The one that is divided in affection and drowning in shame. Give Him that heart because He wants it. Because He will forgive it. Because He will heal it and make it clean and whole. Wholehearted once again. And He does this because He loves you. With a steadfast, faithful love. Jesus Christ is the forever faithful groom who loves His bride, the church, with an everlasting love, a love that will never, ever give up. Even when His beloved does the unthinkable and, like Gomer, breaks her vows and gives her heart and body away to another, even then, Christ's love is shockingly steadfast, and it will go to any length to redeem His unfaithful bride. It will do anything to win back her heart, and it will pay any price to free her from the prison of shame. Any price, yes, even blood. Jesus paid it all, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death, that I may be His own. In baptism, the Lord placed His name upon us, and He made us His own. On that day, He made a vow. that we belong to Him forever. Even more than till death do us part, Jesus' vow is beyond the grave. Not even death will ever separate us, because He has conquered sin and death when He rose from the grave. And His promises extend beyond the grave. They are eternal. Jesus Christ is a faithful groom. His love remains unwavering. Even in the face of our infidelity, instead of condemning us, He forgives our spiritual adultery, cleansing us by the washing of water with the Word. Instead of shaming us, pointing the finger at us, laughing at us, and giving us what we deserve, He instead takes our shame upon Himself, and He covers us with His own righteousness, till we shine with holiness and splendor. He welcomes us back into relationship, inviting us to return to Him in repentance and to learn to live as His beloved bride. As we live in grace, as we rest in His steadfast love, our hearts are restored, and we learn to reflect this faithful love to others. Joy and I both have Song 6:3 inscribed on the inside of our wedding rings. Song stands for Song of Solomon. It was simply too long to write on the inside of the ring. And in our bedroom, we also have a large canvas with the same words to remind us, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. It's a reminder of our wedding vows. It's a reminder that I do not belong to myself. I have promised myself to another. And it is also a reminder that the foundation of our marriage is not our commitment or our love. The foundation of our marriage is Christ, who first made that promise to us. His love for us, working in us, restoring our hearts, healing us from the inside out, so that we can now reflect His love in our marriage and in our lives. Before I am a husband, I am first a bride, the bride of Christ. That steadfast love then enables me to reflect that love to my wife and family, to my church and community. This is not only true of marriage, it is true of all of us here in this church. As we live in grace, as we repent and rest in God's steadfast love for us, our hearts are restored, and we learn to reflect that love to others in our community. Until that glorious day, when we celebrate the marriage feast of Jesus Christ and His beloved bride, the church, in a celebration which has no end. Amen.